Welcome to the Life is Relationships podcast, where we share biblical truths about marriage, parenting, and discipleship. The desire of the Inn of Last Resort is to see the hearts of individuals and families restored in their relationship to the Father, and for them to be empowered to have thriving, godly relationships that impact the communities around them.
Hey, welcome to today's episode. We have AJ and Amy Selby here with us, as well as my wife, Alicia. Today we're talking about the pain, healing, and restoration in life after divorce as a Christian. And we'd just love to get some thoughts. And AJ and Amy, you guys are a special couple. I love the transparency which you speak of the work of the Lord in your lives. And AJ, tell us a little about y'all's story and relate it to how we are restored and live life after divorce as a Christian.
Thanks for having us on. You know, it's always a pleasure to come on and get to spend time with you guys. I think, and I guess I'll just start with a little background. You know, I've talked about it on previous episodes and just in passing. But, you know, as just part of our story, I was previously married once before. And at that point in time, I wasn't really walking with the Lord. I would have said that, you know, on my military paperwork, my faith was Christian, but I wasn't. I wasn't walking with the Lord, and that was evident throughout, just throughout my daily life, through my relationship with my wife at the time, and ultimately, after, you know, 3 years of marriage, we got divorced, and it really was an incredibly difficult time because what I was walking through at that time was a lot of pain and hurt and feeling like there were lost dreams. There were things that, you know, I felt that even though I wasn't walking with the Lord, I still had people in my life that were very strong believers that I knew, you know, prayed and they heard from the Lord and they would share things with me about us, about, you know, my future. And so there was a period of time that it was just the grief and loss of a spouse, a family, dreams that, you know, that the Lord put on our hearts for life, for our future. And so that divorce was finalized in 2016. And in 2017, I came to the Inn, and in that time frame, it was about a year from the time that was finalized to the time I came here. And I ended up, by the time I came here, I had come back into relationship with the Lord and was pursuing the Lord and saying, clearly, the way that I've lived my life has not benefited me. And I am going to, I'm choosing that I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to pursue the Lord. And I showed up here with the intent of being a monk. I was not interested in any women. I was not interested in trying to get into a relationship. It was me and God. We were going to be bros. We were going to bro down. And I was just going to be here and be the single dude on campus that was, you know, just took all the teens and stuff to go do all the stuff, all the backpacking, the rafting, all the things.
Adventure guide.
Yeah.
Sorts. An adventure monk.
Exactly. Adventure monk. I like it. And, but as part of my healing journey, when I first came here, I showed up and, shortly after I arrived, we were right near the end of the summer. And then I think it was November, I guess. No, it wouldn't have been November.
No, it was October.
September or October. Well, no, when was the fall train to rain? When is fall train to rain again?
Usually end of October, early November.
Okay, yeah. So right around that, there was a whole lot of work leading up to that point. But after the summer, one of the major things that I had to walk through for myself after all of that pain, and I'll just say here for the sake of transparency, I do not blame my previous spouse for our divorce. At the time, if you had asked me, I 100% would have. But I know I was not a good husband. just hands down. I just wasn't. I was incredibly prideful. I was unwilling to listen. I wasn't very teachable. And I was just, yeah, pride, I think, was probably the biggest thing that was a major detriment to our marriage. You know, and there were a slew of many other things, and I don't need to air out, because I'm still going to honor her in, you know, that we both screwed up, and that's all that really needs to be said. But I had to walk through some pretty major forgiveness, and it wasn't until I was actually listening to a message on forgiveness by Chris Vallotton from Bethel Church, and it had turned out that his son walked through some similar things to what I had walked through, and he painted this picture of what true forgiveness looks like that blew my mind. And I would have said to anybody, you know, because and I've said in previous episodes, you know, like, my feelings are the thing at the very bottom for me. Like, it's like I just haven't dealt with feelings often. I am learning to be more in touch with what is going on in my heart and in my mind, and being able to name it instead of stuff it. And so, but at that time I would have said, oh yeah, I've forgiven her. Yeah, no big deal. I'm moving on. Nothing I can do about it. I've forgiven her. And what I learned through this message and what the picture that he painted was that his son and his family walked through this incredibly difficult season where his son's wife left. And then by the power of God, through healing and restoration in her life, she came to Chris and said, I want you to help lead and guide me in my next relationship. To where Chris and his wife did the premarital counseling for this young woman and her new husband, and he married them.
Wow.
And so you want to talk about what it looks like to forgive, to take your former daughter-in-law and be able to walk her through restoration into a new marriage.
Golly.
And then the restoration of her life through the forgiveness of others. Wow. I was wrecked.
Wow.
And I realized that at that moment, I had not actually forgiven my previous wife. Because I realized, like, leading up to that point, if I had run into her anywhere or anything like that, it wouldn't have been nasty, but it would have been very avoidant. It would have been very cold. It would have been a very clinical transaction of conversation. Mm. And to realize that now, where I sit now, if she ever showed up in the same room that I was in, that I would be able to greet her and say hello.
Genuine.
And ask her how her family is doing.
Wow.
That was a huge transition point for me in terms of forgiving. Mm-hmm. Mm. And there were, and as a part of that forgiveness, what the Lord had to lead me through, I had to walk through, was that there were even things relating to, the word says life and death is in the power of the tongue. And there were incredibly destructive things that I had said about her as a woman, as a future mother. And it wasn't until I forgave and I walked through the repentance of the things that I had said, and then I spoke life, and I spoke the opposite of what I had spoken over her previously.
Wow.
I found out further down the line after that that there was restoration of her life, of her ability to be a mother.
Wow.
And that to this day still kind of wrecks me. And I don't want it to sound like I'm taking credit for the restoration of her ability to be a mother.
Wow.
I think the Lord showed you the impact that when you were her husband, and even after, your words had effect. Like, yeah, like what absolutely. You said, like in that he holds us accountable for our words when we don't, you know. Yeah. So.
Wow. That is yeah. powerful, guys. Just shows the power of forgiveness. I think so often it's, I don't want to say it's like the scarlet letter, but there's almost like that black eye. Oh, you've been divorced.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I definitely.
You don't have it all together. Or mm-hmm. or it's almost like you're maybe, did you ever experience any treatment but from old friends or can you describe any of that? And not staying negative, but you right. experienced, you're talking about a situation where you experienced forgiveness that was, it was hurt and something was restored and you spoke something different. But the power of forgiveness, how did that make you feel towards people that might have judged you or treated you differently? Do you understand? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And unfortunately, let me rephrase that. And fortunately, I don't feel like I feel like any of that scarlet letter or that black eye, I think were all self-imposed upon myself. I let the enemy get in my head big time about essentially being quote unquote damaged goods. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's it's like, gosh, you know, I was supposed to be, this great person, I'm supposed to be married to one person for 80 years, mm-hmm. Whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. It's like, gosh, I like scrapped my way through three, like, holy cow. And so I had
3 years, not three marriages, by the way.
Correct. Yeah. 3 years.
Good clarification.
Thank you. But I think the people that I would have felt like would have judged me the most were actually the people that judged me the least. Wow. I think I was actually really worried about my parents. I was really worried about my grandparents. And, some family. I'm the oldest in my family, so of course I was like, oh my gosh, I'm what kind of example am I setting and things like that. And it was like, so I mean, there's all of this stuff, but it was all like up in my own head. Even here, like when I had conversations with Larry about it after the fact, I never had any kind of judgment or anything from Larry. He was like, this happened. So what do you do going forward?
Yes.
And so I didn't, any of that was really like just the shame that the enemy was putting on me related to that. And when I began to walk in, just the Lord has washed me clean and he has good things for me. I'm not undeserving of anything good in my life that he has for me because of my shortcomings. And that was a big thing. That was a big thing for me. And so I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that would say you've been divorced. You did screw up, like, you can't be trusted in the church or anything like that. And that's, that's those people's opinion. That's their theology. That's their own deal. Sure. I don't need to try and argue with them about that,
right?
Because I know and have experienced the full and complete restoration of that in my life. Mm. Obviously with my gorgeous wife sitting next to me.
Yes.
Having been married for a little over 4 years.
Yes.
Now, which, yeah, I guess, I mean, that's kind of the next phase. So I don't know. What's your, I don't know how you want me to get into that.
Yeah. Well, I think to that point, I was thinking, Amy, what marrying, you had never been married before, right?
Right.
And you never even kissed anybody.
I've never kissed anybody.
Yeah.
So those were the first lips, right? Let's see, AJ. Look at those beautiful lips. You have a very lovely lips, AJ. Keep this in, Seth.
Actually, oh, legit though.
Never.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Just the kiss.
Just the first kiss.
That kiss. That kiss.
She is turning so red right now.
What's the country song, This Kiss? Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah.
I want to hear what he's going to say.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
So, right, I don't know. Do you want to say it or do you want me to say it?
Amy, tell us everything about The Kiss.
She's laughing so hard.
No, it's not awkward at all. No. I'm not turning red. You are.
The kiss was awkward. In the moment, it was awkward. Okay. I was awkward.
Okay. It was, and I'll...
I didn't know what I was doing.
Did you kiss his nose? Close your eyes and kiss his nose?
It is.
I didn't kiss it back.
Ooh,
I leaned in.
A good segue. So I love this.
I leaned in for the kiss.
We were listening to a song, and I had my head on his shoulder, and I had my eyes. Sorry, I forgot. So I was doing it.
So you obviously didn't kiss dating goodbye.
I put my head on his shoulder. We're listening to the song. I had my eyes closed. He came in for a kiss, and I felt him before
it
I knew
was dark.
Before I saw him, and I was like, I froze. I was like, I don't know what to do. He was like, well, I guess I'll try again another time.
Wait, you said you're trying to put your head on his shoulder? So, and you didn't know that she was putting her head on your shoulder?
No. We were sitting in the car, and she had kind of leaned over, and then, like, I mean, clearly, I had to move. Like, I don't have a giraffe neck. I couldn't just loop around.
Oh, my God.
So it was like, she kind of sat back up, and I leaned in, and, you know, it was like kind of that.
I still have my eyes closed. That
hover
into,
hesitation for a second.
Great material.
You know, where the noses touch.
Oh,
where it's
my.
Like, okay, this is going to happen.
And then I
didn't do what Hitch says in that movie.
90.
I went the full 100. And then I did not go 90 and she come 10. I went the full 100.
She went
and
zero.
I planted my lips in this sweet, tender kiss and then was just met with frozen awkwardness of not knowing what to do. And it was hilarious.
That's not how you dream about your first kiss going, you know? How about we don't count that one? It doesn't have to count.
Dilly. It was funny.
The
second
one was better.
Oh. Awesome. We don't need to go into that.
Oh my gosh.
Babe, what was our first kiss?
Everything was pure. It was fine. There was nothing wrong about it.
The second kiss was
better than the first, and that's okay.
It's and you know, that's the reality of it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like on a, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Did we have
and
a first kiss?
I was
kiss
24
babe?
Years old. It's not like I was some like teenage kid who's like, I don't know. I was 24
Thank
years old.
It
I'm
takes
like,
practice.
I don't know. This is so awkward. This is much more awkward than I thought it would be.
Babe, what was our first kiss?
Yeah, you were my first kiss too.
Oh.
I think it was also in a.
Where was it awkward?
In a car.
It was also awkward.
Probably also awkward.
I also, AJ, do not have a giraffe neck.
Is that what this podcast is about?
First kisses. Let's change the name of this podcast to First Kiss.
I don't know how we got into that. Yeah.
But AJ, we're trying to segue into Amy talking.
I know.
I think where we're trying to go with that first kissing is
back to Amy.
Amy,
because I've never been married before.
You had never been married before, but
or kissed.
I think too. You are so gracious. You saw this man that had come to be a monk, an adventure monk at the inn. And what, I mean, tell us how that was. You knew he had been divorced. And I'm not trying to say, like, I'm just trying to be real here.
Yeah.
How was that process? You know, again, in our Christian walk, we hear people that it can be a black eye. How was it for you and how did that come about on your side?
Yeah. So I'll start with actually before he showed up here at the inn, I was already on staff for several years. And somebody told me that this guy, AJ Selby, might be joining staff. And I think you know him and his family and stuff because I'm friends with his, some of his younger siblings who are my age. AJ's 4 years older than me. So, and he was friends with my older siblings growing up. So, like, we'd kind of, known each other's names our whole lives, but only like met once or twice. And so somebody was like, oh, I think you know him. He's gonna come join staff and he'll help you with the video stuff, whatever. And it was like the way I always describe it is like it felt like the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder. And I just got this feeling like, pay attention. You're gonna marry this guy. And that was different. lots of guys came and went through the inn, and that was not something that I was used to, you know, hearing the Holy Spirit say. So, which made it a little weird when he showed up.
Wow.
But I just kind of kept that to myself, partially out of, I don't want to be embarrassed by this, but partially out of, like, I don't need people thinking about this when, like, I meet him for the first time and all that. So I just kind of kept that to myself for several months and before I talked to like Susan or somebody about it. But after he'd been here for a few weeks, it was like the end of the summer came, which is like the end of the crazy busy season at the inn. And I was just spending some time with the Lord and was like, Lord, I just need to hear your voice. Like, summer was crazy. I just want to hear just anything. I don't care what it is. Just say something. I just want to hear your voice. And the only thing the Lord said was, don't chase AJ. Let him chase you. And I hadn't been trying to chase him at that point, but it was just, the Lord was very gentle, but very firm with me. And I understood immediately, like, the Lord's doing a work in his life. And I knew when he showed up, like, we kind of knew his story a little bit. I mean, he hadn't gone in depth with the staff. We knew he was coming out of a really rough season where he had walked through a divorce and, like, these things. So I knew he was walking through some of that. But just that the Lord was so kind to me and to him to tell me ahead of time, don't you dare chase this guy. Don't you try to get him to like you. Don't you, like, so, I mean, I did the best I knew how to be around him every day and work with him in the same office and be friends without, like, trying to pursue him or get him to like me or whatever that looks like. You know, girls, we do that sometimes. And so I just tried to keep that at the forefront of my mind. And I just got to have a front row seat as a friend and as a fellow staff member that, like, to the work that the Lord was doing in his life. And I mean, it was, I mean, when you're in, like, living on property in a ministry, but especially this one, it feels kind of like an incubator a little bit. Like, it's like a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. And the Lord does a lot of work in a really short amount of time if you'll let him. And AJ was in a place when he got here that he wanted the Lord to do that. Hence, he wanted to be a monk for a year. And
me and Jesus.
Yep.
Bros.
And so he and I got along as friends right away, but he wasn't looking for a relationship. And the Lord had warned me to stay, like, back off of that. And it was just really neat to see the work God was doing in his life. And there were things that, I mean, he was real rough around the edges because of all he'd come out of.
And yeah, and I, part of that was not just the divorce. I spent 10 years as a medic, 6.5 of which were as in the military. And so
in a trauma unit,
fire service and military, it was
a lot.
It's a real rough and tumble crowd that I rolled with.
Yeah. So he's coming out of that, all of those things, and just, like, in a fresh season of rededicating his life to the Lord. And so, yeah, he was really rough around the edges. And there were things that I would see and that, like, I don't think that's how my husband's going to be. And not in a controlling way, but, like, in my mind being like, Lord, I know what you've promised me, like, in your word, what you say a husband is to be. And then, like, and if that's what AJ's going to be, then you deal with that thing.
That's on you.
And the Lord did it. I'm not kidding you. Like, so many times at Devo, he would stand up, like, the next day and the Lord would have convicted him about the thing that I had prayed about the day before, that I was like, I'm not going to touch it because he doesn't even know I like him. And I'm not even going to, like, we're not married. I'm not going to go there. Mm-hmm. And, but then there were a lot of things in that season. Thankfully, the Lord gave me a heads up. I needed that heads up. I don't know that, you know, I don't think the Lord tells everybody who their spouse is going to be, but I'm really grateful he did for me because I needed that heads up, especially with the season he was coming out of, especially the fact that I had never dated, much less kissed another person. And he had done all of the things, you know, and I had never pictured myself marrying someone who'd been married before. I think you just naturally think you're going to marry someone who's waited their whole life like you and they're, you know, all these things. And that's not the case. Like, he led a very different life than I did before we met, and the Lord had to do a lot of work in my heart before we ever even got to the day that he asked me out. Wow. And I'm so grateful for that time. And there was a lot of work the Lord did in my heart after we started dating, after we got engaged, and after we got married. But there was a lot that the Lord did to show me, like, how to have grace for him in that season, how to be a good friend while he's healing and being restored. And then once we started dating, how to be a girlfriend who's honoring of the fact that he has a past that is really different than anything I had ever pictured my husband would have, or my boyfriend, or whatever. And the Lord had to work with me on, like, my expectations. And I just had to be honest with myself and with the Lord on, like, oh, I did expect to marry somebody who'd never been married. I did expect. But that doesn't mean the Lord held out on me either. Because the way AJ was when I met him for the first time versus the day that we got married, totally different human being. In the best ways. Totally different human being, because he just surrendered to what the Lord wanted to do in his life. And he was dedicated to doing the hard work. And so I'm like, I don't feel like the Lord gypped me or held out on me or was like, you get the damaged goods, even though you've waited your whole life. Like, I didn't feel like that, because I saw the intentionality in AJ's life. And another thing, especially once we got engaged, the Lord, the thing that, like, hits me the most, somebody asked me one time, actually, I think it was your brother, was about to get married, and he asked, what was our favorite part about being married? And jokingly at first, I was like, I get to be with my best friend every day. And I was like, no, but seriously, my favorite part about being married to AJ specifically, not just marriage in general, is that the Lord made it really clear to me, I think when we were engaged, that, like, by when I marry him, I get to be an active participant in his redemption story. I'm not just marrying him, like, I'm part of God's redemption, because he thought the lies he was believing before that point was that I'm damaged goods. I'm never going to have a – if I get married again, it won't be a healthy marriage. I don't deserve that. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't deserve a girl who's never slept with anybody. Yeah. Like, I don't deserve all these things. Yeah. I don't deserve God to give me somebody who's waited. And I'm the one – like, and then, like, look what God did. And I got to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, no, God didn't hold out on me. And God didn't hold out on him either. He's a God of restoration and healing and redemption, if we'll let him.
Come on.
And the fact that I get to be an active part in that, wow. Like, sure. I was like, that's my favorite part of being married to AJ. And it's, I hope I never lose sight of that, because it's so important. Wow. Yeah.
That's so good. I think that just... the story of redemption. That it speaks very, very loudly through what you just said, and saying
the nature
that
of God.
Look at the movies we love. It's the Prince Charming. It's everything perfect. It's all the we're kind of sold on society's view of how marriage looks. Yet God's kingdom looks so different. Even the fact that we're all born into sin. We all need redemption. We all have stain. You know, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, you know, it's just pretty amazing to hear that and see that, and to see that's the work of the cross in our lives. His blood paid for it all. So, come on. Wow. Mm.
Yeah, what Amy was talking about there is, I mean, it's 100% true. In addition to the lies of just being damaged goods and that kind of thing, I 100% felt that I would never be married again, because I just thought I just don't deserve to have a love I don't deserve to have the love that goes with a healthy marriage. And God had to shift that and tell me, you are my son, deserving of every good gift that I have for you. And part of that is this incredible woman that I have now. Where we get to, our marriage is not perfect. Our marriage journey has not been perfect. And that's okay. I genuinely feel like that's part of what makes our marriage the beautiful thing that it is that it's not perfect. There are the bumps. There are the fights. There are the arguments. But we are so committed
to working through that.
Yeah, we are so committed to the restoration and walking through each thing and not allowing unforgiveness or bitterness to take hold in any part of it. And
yeah, that's a huge.
Yeah.
That was another thing. Like, that was another thing that, in addition to the Lord telling me to deal with those expectations that I didn't even know I had, was telling me, like, make sure you forgive AJ before, before you ever even like go on a date. Before, like, he had to work on my heart. It's not that I felt like I wasn't forgiving him for something, but it's like, you make sure you have a heart and a mind that is set on forgiveness, that you forgive his past in its entirety, and that like you'll forgive him as the days go by, that you don't hold any space in your heart toward like, oh, but you were divorced once, or oh, like you,
it's good.
You had this experience and I didn't yet, and I don't know how to, like, no, like unforgiveness and bitterness doesn't get to have a place.
Come on.
And, amen. Yeah, so the Lord definitely worked on my heart on that before we got married too, just ensuring that I knew that was going to be vital. And yeah, that's so important.
Yeah. So kind of wrapping this up, guys, what would your encouragement be to those in similar situations, AJ, talking to the ones that they think they're damaged goods, that I've messed up, there's no way to get back up, might be hopeless, depressed, and not hearing the voice of God. What is your encouragement to that person, that Amy, likewise, to setting your eyes on the Lord for your spouse? It might look different than you think. Can you guys just wrap that?
Yeah. I mean, to anyone out there that has gone through a previous marriage, that is divorced, no matter what the circumstance or reason was, I just want to encourage you, don't buy into the lies of the enemy that you are damaged goods, because you're not. There may be things that you need to work through in your life with the Lord, and that's not, and I want to make sure that's not taken as like an ultra Christianese thing. Like, if there are things that you contributed to the marriage that were not good, own it, talk to somebody in therapy about it, and take it to the Lord. Identify the things that, if you shine a light in the dark corners and you expose everything and everything is in the light, then you can move forward.
Versus hiding in shame or regret.
Don't isolate yourself. Don't buy into the narrative that the enemy has for your now ruined life.
That's good.
Believe that the Lord does have healing for you. The Lord does have restoration for a future marriage. He has good things for you. And for anybody that may be struggling with the idea of how can a believer be divorced, I just want to encourage you to approach somebody that's struggling with separation or divorce with the same grace that Jesus met the woman at the well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That he met her with a love and a grace, knowing every single thing about her.
Yes.
And he showed her an outrageous love. And because of that, her life was restored and an entire village was brought into relationship with the Lord. And so when we can walk in grace and mercy and curiosity and wonder and ask questions and walk with people rather than judge, that is where the Lord can meet restoration. But if it's in judgment and condemnation for somebody's past, that's not anything close to a representation of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's only going to drive a wedge between that person and the Lord.
That's good.
Yeah, and then I guess what I'd say for maybe somebody who is more like in my position where you are dating, engaged, or married to someone who's been married before, or if you're none of those things, but you may end up in that situation someday. Again, I think keeping forgiveness at the forefront. Also, like, use wisdom. Like, ask the Lord for wisdom and guidance in how to handle that person's heart. Because they've walked through pain that you can't imagine if you haven't been there. And grace in how you conduct yourself and just having open, real conversations with each other. Where, like, if you're nervous about something because, you know, they've been married, you haven't, they've experienced all of that before, and you had, like, I was a little concerned that maybe a fear I had was that, are you going to compare me to your ex-wife in any way? Mm-hmm. And I had to be honest with that. And we were able to have that conversation. And, I'm so glad I did.
Prior to getting married.
Yeah, prior to when we were engaged. And we were able to have a really good, honest, open conversation that he was able to hear me. And he wasn't offended that I asked that question. He was able to just take it and sit with it and say, like, his answer was no. And if I ever catch myself, I will stop. And I just want to encourage anybody who's in that same position, like, ask the questions that maybe you're afraid to ask, that you're like, oh, this is dumb or this is silly or, you know, I shouldn't have this concern. Like, I know this person. I really shouldn't be. But, like, it's worth it for both of you to honor yourself and the other person to ask those questions, have those intentional conversations so that they know your heart and that you can hear from their mouth, no, I'm not, you know, whatever the answer is, whatever the situation is. And just keep it before the Lord and let him lead you and guide you and, yeah, just be full of grace and forgiveness and kindness.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well said. Thank you all. Thanks for being on with us. This has been an amazing time. I just love when we can talk real and dispel lies and just see what the Lord wants to do. We give him the glory for these things. Redemption, all this is him. And how awesome it is to see you guys together. Thanks for being here with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If it was a blessing or even just entertaining, it would mean so much to us for you to share it with someone you love to help us continue growing and sharing our vision with others. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And for more information about the Inn of Last Resort and our upcoming programs, you can find us on social media or check out our website at innoflastresort.org.